Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning for the preaching of the word. Lord, I want to thank you that this is not man's word. I believe this is a word from you. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, may it fall on fertile soil. And I pray for a great harvest, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Lord, I pray that your people would hear from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to repeat after me and say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. Right. Are you ready to hear the word? Great. Now, last week, we began to look at the question of how one accesses the grace of God. So if you are catching us today, you are seeing us in a series entitled Planted in Grace. We are talking about a series Planted in Grace. And last week, we were exploring the whole notion of if something is unmerited, if you don't have to work for something, how do you access it? How do you get to receive something that you do not work for? Okay? And this is a very important aspect as we dig deeper into this whole aspect of getting planted in grace, being planted in grace. So this morning, I want to continue on the subject matter, the gateway to a life of grace. So this is our subject matter today. We're going to do part two of the gateway to a life of grace. Now I want you to realize that the kingdom of God operates in principles. There are certain principles that govern the kingdom of God. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men pour into your bosom. That is a kingdom principle. You see, the Lord Jesus would tell his disciples that if any one of you wants to be great, you better be the servant of all. That's a principle in the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying, if you want to be lifted up, if you want to rise up, your way up is your way down. Now, the kingdom of God has got principles, and we're going to explore some principles today on how to access a life of grace. So we were looking at the story of the prodigal son last week. And we learned a number of principles around the whole issue of the gateway to a life of grace. And these are a number of things we learned from last week. We learned that in order to experience grace, you need to see God through the eyes of his word. In order to experience grace, you need to see God through the eyes of his word. What that means is that we need to define God aright based on what we see in the word. I want you to know that many people can define God based on their experiences, but that falls short. You've got to go into the word in order to rightly define who God is. Secondly, we said God is full of goodness towards his children. God is full of goodness towards his children. You've got to see God as a good God for you to access his grace. It is impossible for you to see God as a good God when you've attributed some evil things to him. Now, does it mean that sometimes God is horrible and sometimes he's a good God? Now, if it is the case, the question is, when you wake up tomorrow morning, on what side of God are you going to be? Is he going to be a bad God or is he going to be a good God? I want you to know that God is good all the time. Thirdly, if you fail to believe in the goodness of God, you will fail to walk in his grace. If you fail to believe in his goodness, you will fail to walk in his grace. Number five, we learn that God wants to give you good things that satisfy. So, so important for you to have this revelation that God wants to give you good things that satisfy. And the last thing that we raised last week is God has good intentions towards you. So important. The intentions of God towards humanity is good. And when you have that as your default thinking, you are able to receive the unmerited grace. Why? Because you always look at God and you're expecting good things. And that is when you connect with the grace of God. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to go on to read verse 14 of the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Now, last week, we went as far as when the young man decided, I want to leave, I want to go. Just give me a moment. I just want to spend time out there. I want to experience life. And you know how it is. The grass is greener on the other side. Always. When you're on this side of your life, you can see that, that's not working. The pastor isn't preaching that well. I'm going to look for another pastor. I'm going to look for another church. The grass is always greener on the other side. Hello? But you know what? Sometimes what makes the grass green is not just water, it's sewage. Hello? Sometimes what makes the grass green on the other side is sewage. And you only get to see the sewage when you are there. Like, it's not what it looked like. And this is what the young man was going through. He's like, I'm done. My dad is strict. My dad wants me to do this. I want to just go do life by myself. So before you make any moves, make sure the Lord wants you to move. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. So it was green on the other side. But when he got into that country, there was famine. There was hunger. There was trouble. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. So he was in want. He looked for a man in that country, hoping to find some help. Hoping to find some relief. And the man said, you know what? I've got nothing for you except to look after pigs. This man went on to do the life of piggery. But he left his father's house. And he was longing to fill his belly with the husks that the pigs ate. And no one gave to him. And no one gave to him. So this man was giving him food, but the food was worse than the husks. The outside covering of these pods that these pigs were eating. And he was longing for that food that the pigs were eating. Now this young man found himself in trouble, away from the father. And I want you to realize this morning, away from the father, life is not good. Away from God, life cannot be better. Right now you might feel like I'm being restricted. I just want a little bit of freedom. You see, sometimes life happens and we move away from God, maybe for a season. Life happens and we get disheartened by God. We get disappointed by God. We feel disappointed by God. We pick offense towards God. And because of that, I just want time out. Now this morning, I want to say this to you. You might not have moved away from God, but you are going through a dry spell in your spirit. You might not have backslidden. You are still a child of God. You are coming to church, but you are going through a dry patch in your spirit. You are stuck in the spirit. This young man walked out of God. You are in God, but you are praying, but you don't sense God. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. And many believers will be there at some point where you feel your life is in a desert, you are in a dry space. You love God, but you try to reach, you seem not to be reaching. Your realities and what you hear about God and what you're experiencing, they're two worlds apart. My question to you is, are you feeling spiritually stuck in this season? Are you feeling that you're not making progress? Pastors get stuck. Church leaders get stuck. And from time to time, you feel like I'm not making progress. Lord, why? Now, I don't know what is your situation. Maybe you're spiritually stuck. And your fear of tomorrow has taken away your affection for God. This is what happens when you are spiritually stuck. If you can give me those slides. When you are spiritually stuck, you are afraid of tomorrow. Why? Because today is difficult. Today is painful. And you've got no hope for tomorrow. Maybe your experience in corporate worship is empty and distracted. Have you been there? Everybody feels attached. They feel connected with God. You are there in church and you are as dry as a dry tree. Have you been there? And you feel, am I weird? Have I backslidden? No, you're not. The things of God no longer excite you. I'm talking about that person who is spiritually stuck. And what I'm doing is just to bring this to the fore. The things of God no longer excite you. And you know what? Repentance is no longer attractive to you. Repentance is not attractive anymore. You feel like, what's the point of repenting? Because even if I repent, I don't sense God. What is it? The priest word seems boring. The pastor can preach as much as he wants, but the priest word seems boring. Have you been there? Spiritual advice seems not to give you the answers that you're looking for. You've gone to your disciple, the one who's discipling you. You've gone to your pastor. Pastor, this is what I'm going through. The pastor gives you advice, but it's not the answers that you're looking for. You want the pastor to tell you tomorrow all is going to be well. Tomorrow you'll get a job, but he doesn't say that to you. Spiritual stuck. It is in that space that you need to realize that grace is what you need. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord is what you need if you are spiritually stuck. The grace of God is what you need if you have moved away from God. You have forsaken your first love. You see, if you are spiritually stuck, you need to know that grace allows you to be honest about your heart condition. Grace allows you to tell God honestly where you are, what you are feeling, and what are your expectations. That is what grace does. Grace allows you to complain out loud before God. Am I still being a pastor telling you these things? Yes. If I don't, I won't be truthful to the scriptures, because I see the one whose heart was after the heart of God, David, coming before God and saying, Lord, why? The grace of God allows you to complain out loud to those who can be honest with you. The grace of God allows you to pick the phone and say, listen, I've got issues. It's not well at home. My marriage is on the rocks, but I've been praying. The grace of God allows you to do that and to become naked and yet not ashamed. Grace will allow you to do that. That is why we all need somebody we can go to in those moments. This person who is okay with you moaning and crying before them, and their view of you does not change. Our problems in church is this. The moment I come to you and tell you, as a pastor, telling you that I've got issues, from that day on, you feel you cannot listen to that pastor anymore. That is why a lot of pastors are lonely. Because when they open up to somebody, guess what? They've opened up room for them to be looked down upon. Forgetting that even us as pastors are flesh and blood. That is why the grace of God would enable me to go to the Father and tell him exactly that I am tired. I came home on Thursday night, and there we were having supper, and I was tired. And my son said to me, Dad, you are worn out. I was like, where do you get that from? He said, Dad, you are worn out. And he was right. My 7-year-old boy could see that this old man is worn out. What do you do when you are worn out? Grace allows you to go to your Father and tell Him, I am worn out. Hello, somebody. You see, Christianity should not be a ticket for us to live in denial. A ticket where we are not truthful about where we are. Salvation comes when you are truthful about your sinful nature. Salvation comes when you realize that you are down and out. In the absence of that, there's no salvation. As long as I am too strong to get help, I'll never get help. And this morning, I want you to know that grace enables you to receive the love of God. So this young man was down and out, and he went to a citizen of his land asking for help, and he did not get help. And this morning, I want you to know, you will not get help everywhere. There is a place and an appointed place for you where you can get help. Hallelujah. There are people that God has brought into your life. They know how to get you. If you know those people, wisdom says, get close to them. Hallelujah. This young man went to a citizen of this country hoping to get help, but the citizen of the country said, I can't help you. The best thing I can do is to send you to my pigs. This morning, I want you to realize that whilst looking after the pigs, the life of this young man became and looked like that of pigs. This is what happens when we are away from where we are supposed to be. Are you located where you are supposed to be? You see, at home, you have mom and dad who tell you what to do and what not to do. Mom will tell you to fix up your bed. Mom will tell you to clean up after yourself. And if you're not careful, you would think mom is so difficult. I want to go and live with my aunt. Because aunt will not tell you to clean after yourself in the beginning. But before you know it, aunt will remove you from your bed and ask you to sleep on the floor. Hello, somebody. But mama will never chase you from your bed. But mama will always tell you to clean after yourself. What the devil wants to do is for you to see your surroundings and the home where you are, and you look down upon it. Come on now, somebody. Listen to me. True grace can only be experienced in the presence of a loving God. True grace can only be experienced when you are in your home. When you are home, all is good. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you experience as long as you are where you're supposed to be. You see, what I find very interesting is that this boy was still his father's son whilst he was away from home. Though he was living like a pig, he was still his father's son in the piglet. Wherever you are right now, I want you to know, whatever you're experiencing, you're still a child of God. Sometimes we look at where we are and we think, because I was lying this whole week, I'm not a child of God. Wherever you are, you're still a child of God, and God still wants to meet up with you. Hallelujah. That is grace. You see, grace means that even when you are down and out, God does not give up on you. Even when you feel like you're the worst of sinners, God does not give up on you. Can somebody say amen to that? Why am I saying this? The Bible tells me in Isaiah 42 verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break. Do you feel bruised right now? Do you feel broken right now? Do you feel rejected right now? Do you feel you cannot come before God? And here the Bible is saying, a bruised reed he will not break away. And then he goes on to say, and a smoldering wick. You see, the fire is gone. It's smoldering. There's still a bit of smoke there. There's still a bit of hope there. And God says, I won't finish you off. God is not in the habit of kicking you when you are down and out. That's not the God we serve. When you are discouraged, when you feel like I'm unforgivable, I'm unlovable, God does not come and reinforce that thought. God comes and tells you, you are lovable. get up. And he says here, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. This is the God whom we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this young man was out there doing his things and life was tough. The life of piggery did something to this young man. A moment of realization changed the rest of his life. And I want you to know this morning that God wants you to have that moment of awakening. That moment of realization that, you know what? Something is not right. You know, we all need to come to that place where we have this holy discontentment. We have this holy anger concerning situations in our lives. Where you'll be able to say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to fast for the coming 21 days and see if this God will not answer. We need to get to that point, saints, as a church to say, you know what? We're going to do things differently and see if God will not move on our behalf. I'm going to start speaking differently and see if things will not change. Hallelujah. I will start believing certain scriptures and see if those scriptures will not become a reality in my life. Hallelujah. Verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, it means he was away from himself. It means that at some point we just detach ourselves from where we're supposed to be. And when he came to himself, he said, he started thinking. Reminiscing and thinking about home. You see, we all long to be home. I remember when I was at varsity, 3,000 Ks almost away from home. There were days where I wish I was home. There were days that I wish I could have my mama's meal. There were days that I would wish I could just walk into the fields and get my maize cobs and put them on the fire. Away from home, life is different. So he came back to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father abound in loaves? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am not more worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired servants. Make me like your hired servants. So this young man, something started happening in his spirit, man, in his soul. He was reminded of his servants. At home, he had never slept hungry. At home, food was given away to the poor. At home, he had a warm bed and had clean clothes all the time. At home, he only had someone asking him how he was in the morning. At home, his father's servants had decent accommodation. At home, his father never allowed a sick servant to go out and work in the field. His father was caring. And he started thinking. I think he was having this moment of realization, just remembering how his father was tender-hearted. Just remembering how his father would go out with the boys and looking for the sheep that had gone away. And something struck him and he realized, you know what? My father is a good father. I'm going to go back. He is so good that if he cannot receive me as his son, he would definitely take me in as a servant. And he said to himself, I'll go back. I'd rather be my father's servant than a servant of this citizen of this country. I'd rather be a servant of the Most High God than the servant of Diabolos, being used by the devil to do his bidding. The young man said, I'm going home. I will go home. If I'm not received as a son, I know I'll be received as a servant. This is a realization that somebody needs to have today. If you're down and out, you need to realize that the day that you decide to go back to your father will have you back. He came back to his senses. And I believe every child of God needs to get back to their senses concerning their view of God. Every child of God needs to go back to their senses. Sorry, can I get something here? This is so important for you to receive what is in the Father. You've got to be with the Father to receive what is with the Father. Hallelujah. Be found with the Father to receive what is in the Father. Somebody says, for you to win, you have to be present. You cannot be away and expect to receive the same benefits. Now, this morning, I want you to see something. One of the scriptures we read at the beginning of this gateway to a life of grace was in Matthew 16. After Peter had given an accurate answer to who Jesus was, Jesus attributed that answer to God, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 16, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Son of the living God. Peter brought a distinction between Jesus and any other prophet. Peter brought a clear distinction between Jesus and any other leader. He says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We need to see God aright. And Peter was in his right senses. You see, everybody else who equates Jesus to any other prophet is not in his rightful sense. And unfortunately, in the church, in some churches right now, they are placing Jesus on the same level as other prophets. That is why they are okay with interfaith organizations, where we can all come together and we just pray. Bring the Muslims, the Hindus, and Hare Krishnas, and the Shembes, and bring the Christians together. Interfaith, inclusivity. When we do that, we have lost our sense of who Jesus is. When that happens, you will not receive what is in Jesus. Hello? Because for you to receive what is in Jesus, you have to be in Jesus. So, so important. In verse 17, the Lord Jesus answered and said to him, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit." Every child of God who is in that moment of shakiness, we pray that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes. You too today need to say, "Lord, open my eyes. I want to see you aright." You need to say, "Lord, concerning my health, I want to see you aright. Open my eyes that I can see you as Jehovah Rapha, the one that heals." You need to have the revelation by the Holy Spirit. If you are in poverty, to know that it is the desire of God for you to come out of poverty. Otherwise, you start saying, "You know what? Poverty is close to God. Poverty brings us to a place of humility. And because of that, you cannot see him aright. It's the one who says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and life in its abundance." Every church needs to have a revelation of Jesus. Because the revelation of Jesus that you have determines whether Jesus will come and build your life. Because further down, verse 18 and 19, you hear Jesus saying, "Upon that revelation of Jesus, I will build my church." When we see Jesus aright, he will come and build his church. Glory be to God. He will not build on any other foundation other than his foundation. Very, very important. Jesus says, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven." When you go through that moment, you need to ask the Father to reveal to you his nature concerning a situation. If there's dispeace in your life, if there's turmoil in your life, you need to pray to have a revelation of what God says about that situation. For you to be able to say, "Is it Jehovah Shalom? This is not my portion," to walk in confusion. I'm talking about a revelation of Jesus. A revelation of who he is. Now take note of this. When you see God only through your experiences, you can lose sight of his grace towards you. When you see God only through your experiences, you can lose sight of his grace towards you. Because our experiences are not always great. When you see him only through those experiences, it becomes impossible to see his grace towards you. Because you can look around, you see, that hasn't worked. That hasn't worked. That is about to fall through. That deal is not going to work. If it is just through your experiences, you lose sight of his grace. That is why Jesus said, "This was not out of your own doing, Simon Peter. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. My Father in heaven made you to realize." That is why when somebody has a revelation of the healing power in God, they're able to have faith for tumors to disappear, and tumors will disappear because of the revelation. I want you to know the God of this world is an accuser of brothers. He also stands to accuse God of his lack of concern towards you. The devil will come and tell you, "Do you really think God cares for you? If he cared, that would not have happened. If he cared, that would not have happened." The same trick he pulled on Adam and Eve. He came to them and said, "Did God really tell you? Did God really tell you?" Ephesians 1 verse 15, we need to walk by revelation. We need to walk by revelation that comes from above concerning every situation. When he says walk, you can walk. When he says stop, you should stop. Glory be to God. Very key. Therefore, I also, this is the Apostle Paul praying and writing to the church at Ephesus, saying, "Yeah, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you" what? "The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Very powerful for you to see this. I pray that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people die for a lack of knowledge. And because of that, they have been taken into captivity. When we don't know Jesus, when we don't have a knowledge of Jesus, we will be swayed by all sorts of doctrines. And here Paul is saying, it is important that you receive the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He goes on and says, "And that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." There is hope in Jesus, saints. There is hope for tomorrow. You might be praying for something for years and years and years. If you do not have the right understanding of God, you will abort the promises of God for you. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise. Did God change in those 25 years? No, God did not change. His promises will not change. Our circumstances will change. That is why Paul looked at the church at Ephesus and he's saying, it is important that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. We need to be enlightened concerning who God is. That is what we need. Glory be to God. Now, this morning I want you to realize that coming back to his senses prompted a certain behavior. You see, coming back to his senses prompted a certain action from this young man. When he realized that my dad is a loving dad, my dad is a good God, a good father, he did not just stop there. He says, "I'm going. I'm done with this life. I'm going back. I know either way I will be better off. If I'm received as a son, great. If I'm received as a servant, I'll be better than this." You see, the moment you see God aright, it will prompt you to act in a certain way. Hallelujah. It will prompt you to celebrate, to give him thanks before things happen. Because you now know who he is. The Bible says, those that know their God, they shall be strong. And they will do great exploits. Who? Those who know their God. Now, this morning I want you to take note of this. Seeing God aright causes you to run towards him. Seeing God aright causes you to run towards His grace. When you see Him as a loving God, as a forgiving God, by the way, go and read the entire of Psalms 103. You will see the grace of God right through all of those verses. Psalm 103, very powerful scripture that speaks of the grace of God. When you look at verse 10, it says here, he does not treat us according to what our iniquities deserve. I'll probably quote it further down here. But the grace of God, seeing God aright, causes you to run towards His grace. Now, verse 20, we are hitting the climax of this story. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. The Bible says, do not be mere hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Anyone who hears the word and does not do the word is deceived. The young man had revelation. Revelation should result into a transformed behavior. What was the behavior? He forsook everything. He said, I'm done here. This is not me. This is not my identity. This isn't what I'm supposed to do. He left everything and he went back. After hearing this word, are you going to retain the same thinking patterns? Are you going to continue viewing God as a God who is angry towards you concerning what you did 16 years ago? You see, realizing who God is prompts you to behave differently. When my children realize that it doesn't matter how much we mess up, our dad is our dad. He will always love us. You know what? It doesn't cause them to run away. They will stay home. Very, very important. Now, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. What was the father doing? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Papa, Papa, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Hallelujah. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Saints, there is no better picture than this that speaks of the father heart of God. That speaks of the gateway to a life of grace. To see a father behaving in this way. Now I want you to realize that in order to experience this side of his father, the young man had to humble himself and to arm himself with a readiness to confess his sins. He had to break himself and say, you know what, I might have taken everything from my father, but I'm going back. That is humility. Now take note of this. Humility and a willingness to confess one's sins paves way to a life of grace. Humility and brokenness and a willingness to confess your sins opens up a gateway to a life of grace. The moment you are broken and say, it doesn't matter, I might feel unlovable, I'm going back to my father. That is humility. Many people, after having done wrong things, pride kicks in and they say, how can I walk back into that church? How can I walk back into the house of God, having done this and that and that? But this morning, I want you to know, when you are broken, when you are ready to confess, it opens up the gateway for grace. Humility and a willingness to confess one's sins paves way to a life of grace. I'm praying that this drops in your spirit, man. The Father is ready to have you back. But do you know what is stopping you from going back into the arms of the Father? It is pride and a lack of repentance. The Father is not stopping us from coming back, but we are stopping ourselves because we are not ready to face our issues. Hello, somebody. Now, It appears as if the father had been in the habit of looking on the horizon, hoping that one day my boy will walk back home. I want you to know that your Father in heaven is waiting in anticipation of you coming back into a place of intimacy with him. Do you know why? It is, the Bible tells me that when a sinner gives his life to Jesus, there is rejoicing and there's parting in heaven. Hallelujah. I want you to know that heaven is waiting. Heaven is looking on the horizon, waiting for your comeback. Waiting for you to come back and reconnect with God. The Bible says, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Who saw him first? His father. The son was busy there, maybe his head down, looking down, full of shame, pity party. The father saw, that's my boy. No one else walks like that. That's my boy. I want you to know that your Father in heaven knows you so well that you don't need to pretend to be somebody else when you come before him. He knows when you are not happy. Why not tell him? He knows when you are disappointed. Why not tell him? You see, in the Hebraic culture, it was a shame and an embarrassment for a man to run. The Hebrews don't run. Why? Because of their clothes, their attire. The robe goes down onto their ankles and they've got this belt around them. Now, if they are to run, they would have to pick the robe. And picking the robe meant that they would expose their feet. They would expose their legs. And that was seen as nakedness. So a man would not pick his robes unless in the presence of his wife. He would not pick his robes, but the dead. The Bible says when he saw that it was his son, he forgot about his culture. He ran to his son. Glory be to God. I want you to know that there is no cultural barrier between you and God. There is nothing in heaven that is stopping the Father to embrace you the day that you walk into his love. The father broke the culture of the day in order to express his love and compassion for his son. Again, according to the Hebraic law, if you go to Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, you would find that whenever a son had dishonored his father, the father would take the son before the elders of the city. And he would say to them, my son has dishonored me, and that would result in the son being stoned, and the son would die. And this story, the context is the Old Testament. It was before the New Testament. Though it's written in the New Testament, it was before the New Testament. And therefore, this picture was a beautiful picture of a father who was prepared to go, to let go of his culture in order to meet his son. He did not call for a stoning. Listen to me. Instead of being stoned, the father showed him compassion. Instead of stoning his son, the father loved him. He says, my one, the one, my beloved, the one who was lost, the one who was dead. I longed to have you back home. Hallelujah. I wish somebody could hear that father heart of God towards them. You see, there is no better place than home. There is no better place than home. Listen to me. In the far country, there were tears of sorrow. But at home, there were tears of joy. What a contrast. He got kicks in the far country, but he got kisses at home. He had rags in the far country, but robes at home. He had rings of slavery on his eyelids, but he had a ring of love on his finger. In the far country, he went on forced fasting, but back home, he began to feast. Away from the father, he was a beggar, but with the father, he was having a banquet. There was famine in the far country, but now there was a fattened calf. This is the distinction between those who live in grace and those who are away from grace. This is the difference between those who are in the presence of grace and those who are in the presence of striving. What is the moral of the story? Grace does not treat you according to what you deserve. The Father came and just brought back honor. The scripture I alluded to, Psalm 103 verse 10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So powerful. You see, when you see God aright, He is the first person you will run to when you have missed the mark. When you see God aright, He is the first person you will run to when you have missed the mark. But I want you to realize this morning, take note of this. The agenda of the devil is to poison your view of God in order to keep you away from an abundant life of grace. That is the agenda of the devil. The devil wants to poison your view of God in order to keep you away from an abundant life of grace. Can you see the distinction? When he came back to the Father embraced him. The Father did not even allow him to finish his confession. The Father did not even listen to what he was saying. The Father ordered a robe. He ordered a ring. He ordered some shoes. What was happening here? The Father was busy restoring honor and dignity to his Son. Take note of this. In the presence of grace, your honor and dignity are restored back to you. Honor and dignity is restored back to us. This morning, if we are able to break ourselves and come before God, our dignity will be restored. He will restore unto us the joy of our salvation. He will take away sorrows and give us joy. He will take away issues and give us glory. Hallelujah. This morning, saints, God is ready to forgive and to give you another chance. God is ready to forgive and to give you another chance. When I wrote that, I thought of this. I want you to write this again. It says here, He is not the God of second chances. He is a God of countless comebacks. He is not the God of second chances, but He is a God of countless comebacks. It doesn't matter how many times you come back. You say, come back. There is enough love for you. I want you to know, when you walk in the love of God, you do not walk in fear, because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. This young man realized there is love. I'm going. I'm not afraid. Whichever way my Father receives me, I'm going home. Now, the last point is this. It's a quote that I saw from Joseph Prince's book on Destined to Reign. He says, grace does not picket against those who fall short. Grace embraces them into wholeness and brings about real inward transformation for them. Grace does not toy against you when you have sinned. Grace draws you in. And the Bible says the love of God leads us to repentance. What's the story of your life as we finish this morning? I want us to stand on our feet today for a revelation. I want us to pray for a revelation of God. I just feel there are some people who feel stuck spiritually. You need to know, grace allows you to cry in the arms of your Father. Grace allows you to question situations in your life. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Talk to your God, talk to your Father right now. What is it that He has been saying to you this morning? As we talk about a gateway to a life of grace. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father, that you are not against us. We thank you, Father, that you are not fighting us, but you are for us. Lord, this morning I pray for revelation. I pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. I pray that you'd give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray this morning for your grace. Father, I pray even the same prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Lord, I pray this morning that the Father of glory may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. I pray that we might know what is the hope of our calling and what is the riches of your glory, of the inheritance of the saints. So, Father, we give you praise today. I thank you for this word. Father, I've preached the word you gave me. Lord, I pray that this word would carry your people this week. I pray that, Lord, you'd minister life to your people. I pray that you'd sustain your people this morning. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Amen and amen. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord this morning.